adesso parte il tiro, rete, 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 un gol straordinario!
Welcome to Rete This Way, a cultural podcast that brings you the latest and greatest news from the world of Serie A and European soccer. My name is Michael D'Angelo, and with us, as always, we have Paolo Baloni Mangoni.
Welcome back, everyone.
We've got Mr. Chris Pacelli.
Hello, everybody.
We've got... Fuck, what is it?
Yeah, I know. We still don't have one yet.
Juju? What do we...
Juju?
Juju?
How's everybody doing today?
Julian D'Angelo, welcome everybody to the podcast. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, what a week we had in Calcio, eh?
Outstanding.
Yeah, fun week.
Yeah, some week indeed. We had some
ups and downs.
Ups and downs. It's a midweek action last week. We had some weekend action that was just sensational. We had...
and today was a shit day.
That's it. That's
both
part
games
of the,
are shit.
That's a part of the sensation.
Yes. That's,
Monday's games were the sensational part of the weekend.
Yes.
Good Lord.
You done yet?
Yeah, we've just started, my friend. Oh, God. So, we've got, again, we're going to get through, of course, last week's Supercopa. We'll review that. Along with obviously some Coppa Italia results again along the way there. We'll get through the Serie A results. We'll talk about what's important to talk about, get through some rumors, get through who am I. We got a full show here. So, without further ado, let's kind of jump right into it then. So why don't we start with, again, the Supercoppa. So this is the pinnacle of sport, of course.
Just Julian, like how the Conference League is the greatest competition on earth.
Yes, yeah. Quite. So, Julian, kind of set the stage for us. What happened with the Supercopa and kind of leading into it?
So, I mean, Supercopa, it's the winner of the league versus the winner of the Coppa Italia. Now, traditionally, and I still agree, it should be played prior to the start of the season. However, recently Italy has tried to play it in Saudi Arabia to try and boost viewers and fans, I guess. But with COVID,
and money.
With COVID, that was not an option, so they opted for playing it in Italy, in Milan at the San Siro.
But yeah, so before we get into I probably mentioned this beating a dead horse. Last year they played it, at Sassuolo Stadium, at the Maffei Stadium, it was Juventus-Napoli. Why again, or why this year, all of a sudden, they played at the San Siro again? So, that just let you guys think about that, and we'll get into the game.
Yeah, so the game was, of course, between Inter and Juventus. And it actually started off very poorly for Inter. As 25 minutes in, McKennie scores for Juventus to give them the early lead. And it was, would you say this was kind of against play, or is it, I think it was a little bit of a lucky goal.
It was totally against play.
I don't know. Juve was starting to build into the game at that point.
Inter, yeah, I mean, it was 25 minutes in at least.
10,
yeah.
15 minutes.
Right.
They had a potential penalty show with Chiellini on Barella. Lautaro missed a sitter. It was just typical Inter stuff.
Yeah.
But then Juve did grow into the game, and Juve were starting to kind of fight back. It was actually a good first half, in my opinion. I felt like both teams were attacking.
Yeah, well, and to your point, so Lautaro misses it early, and eventually he actually gets a PK about 34, 35 minutes in. So kind of go through that.
I think it was kind of off of a – it was off a corner, I think, kind of a busted corner. Ball came back up, top of the box, Inter tried to play it back in. DeCilio and Dzeko were in a foot race. And it looked like Dzeko just slightly beat him to the ball, and he then kind of clattered into the back. Sorry, DeCilio then kind of clattered into the back of Dzeko.
So you'd say that Dzeko is, you know, instrumental in Inter's success at this point?
For this point in the game, yes.
Okay.
Okay,
however,
so
we'll get into
I'll offer the alternative view here. That
the loser's point of view here.
that Dzeko was looking for it. I guess
what attacker's not looking for it at that point?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
your point.
That's fair.
And then instigated the contact with DeCilio, but again, I agree that it should have been a penalty because there was clear contact, but it did seem to be fabricated, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he was looking for it. I agree. It was one of those. I actually think that one was a softer foul than the Chiellini
one.
Barella originally. But
right.
I guess you don't obviously want to give penalties. You don't want penalties to change the course of the game, but I think one of them should have been given. And then the one later on before the half on Bastoni, absolutely not. That was a clear embellishment, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. I remember we're talking to a friend of the show, and like you can tell, like the way Bastoni kind of throws up his legs, you can tell that there wasn't enough contact to do that. Like the literally was a touch, and then he kind of like launched himself into the penalty box.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree, and I hate that. Like everybody's always like, oh, there's contact, it's a penalty, and it's like, no, soccer is a contact sport. Like players need to stay on their feet.
So, it would have been a different story if, I think it was Chiellini, correct me if I'm wrong, took out his ankles. If there was, like, if you looked at it and there was a clear shot of Bastoni's ankles being cut. Here was just kind of, like, shin on shin, but it wasn't even, like, a strong enough contact to warrant that jump from Bastoni.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It was Kulusevski, by the way.
Okay, thank you, yeah. So there you go.
But anyways, it was 1-1 and a half.
Right, and you said there's that show before, and it's a even, match going into halftime. In the second half,
I thought it was all Inter in the second half. They created the most chances.
Yeah, and it was definitely about just keeping Inter at bay for sure for Juventus at that point.
It was terrible. Second half an extra time. I thought Juventus played a good first half. They were attacking, they were trying to create, but I felt like they just invited pressure from the second half onwards.
Yeah.
And because of that, it was just like
the boring. Provincial mentality.
Allegri ball.
Valo. <uh-oh.
laughs> Valo.
It almost worked.
But it almost worked, but we'll get into that. But like, as Chris said, this is where I wanted to get, you know. Look it up, Michael. Actually, Palermo made it to a Coppa Italia final. But if this was Palermo versus Inter, I would understand,
being kind of
defensive and, right. and looking to bring it into the penalty shootouts or penalty kicks. I would understand that. But it doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you lose 3-1, 4-1. Go for it. If at that point it goes to the penalty kicks, so be it. But the thing is, to lose, like how Julian will describe, is a sucker punch. And that no fan deserves to see their team lose in such a way. Julian.
Yeah, I mean, we can get to the goal. Not much. I mean, there was a couple chances here and there. I think Bernardeschi had a couple shots he should have done better on, in my opinion. He missed one wide and one high. Pittin made a nice save on a Dumfries header, but beyond that, there wasn't really much in the second half, and then it ended up going to extra time.
Yeah, so of course, since it's a final, it's going to be the complete gamut of extra time. It doesn't end in a draw, right? So it goes to the full 120, and it actually takes 121 ish minutes.
Actually, 120 in 1 second.
There you go, to get a full result here. So what ends up happening here is, again, it's that late into the game, and Inter are building play on, I guess, the near side, so left side, I guess, of the field, and eventually, who's it that tosses it in?
DeMarco was the DeMarco. One who just kind of swung it into the box.
Right, so DeMarco gets it and swings into the box, and of course, the Nano on the spot there. Alex Sandro. Sanchez. Oh yeah. Well.
Oh sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Sandro. Damian, first off, doesn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking. Like, just, I played beer league soccer, and if we're defending a lead last friggin' 10 minutes, anything into the box, I'm just getting out as soon as I
clearing it. Yeah, and yeah. This guy is just so far removed from sane, I guess, at this point as a defender, and it's you've been seeing it. Past beyond this season, like I think it's been a couple seasons
now. He must
know
it's 120th minute. Literally, if he heads it up to a corner, it's probably going to penalties.
Right.
Yeah, it's done.
It's done. Yeah. It's so at instead last kick of the game, Sanchez is able to collect the ball.
Darmian stripped him off first, actually.
Did he?
Yeah, Sandro tried to bring it down and chest it to Chiellini. Darmian kind of ran in between instead, him and got a touch on it.
Right, and kind of falls Sanchez, to Sanchez.
Yeah. Ran it and slotted it away.
Yeah, and just is able to kind of power it through. And then that's the game winner, literally at the death. 120 plus 0.01 or whatever, 0.1 second. Meanwhile, of course, Bonucci was furious. Paulo, why don't you tell us about Bonucci here?
Okay, so he was, I guess, waiting to come on the field, imploring his team to make a tactical foul, or in Italian, fallo tactico. Which became a butt end of the joke on Twitter, and I guess he was there's now a infamous picture, a famous picture of him. I don't know, staring
and
on the sidelines, and then at the end of the final whistle, I guess, okay. So now at first everyone thought it was a Serie A official that. Bonucci kind of took issue with because he wasn't able to get on the field, but it was actually a Inter staff member. I think it was the first team secretary. I guess he was celebrating that his team just scored and won a trophy. And supposedly the Bonucci took it badly because he always has been a sore loser in his career, especially when he doesn't get his way. And at this point, he didn't get his way, he didn't get on the field. And last time that he didn't get his way, he went to Milan.
And he was the captain.
And he was the captain there. So I think I've actually read an article. Not only that, he did say he'll make him dance the salmon tonight. He actually threatened to kill him and say, listen, I'll kill you. Don't ever like celebrate in front of me like that. So he threatened an official. And yet, what was the suspension?
No suspension. Was it 10K?
He also kind of like struck him, kind of like.
Well, he goes to manhandle him almost. He goes to like grab him, right, and it just kind of like shakes him a little bit.
But yeah, you got a 10,000 euro fine.
Okay, so what? Didn't Lukaku and Ibra get suspended as well?
I feel like they got red cards though.
Yeah, they did get sent off. Yeah, you're right. They got sent off, and then I think they got fined as well after the fact.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that, you know, telling someone that I'll kill them, or he'll kill them, putting their hands on them, is not worth a suspension, but only just a 10,000 euro fine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can look around, I don't know about Europe, but definitely North America for other leagues to find examples where less was done with regards to the incident and a more harsh penalty was given out. So Bonucci definitely got away with one there, in my opinion, in terms of not being suspended.
Well, but even that, there's players clapping at the referee being sent off. No physical contact with the referee whatsoever, still being sent off.
Yet, yeah, I think physical contact with another team official. Like, players get heated. There's always going to be guys grabbing each other, whatever. It's part of the game. But to go after another team official or another, like, somebody who's not actually playing the game, I think, yeah, that to lay hands on somebody like that should be an automatic red.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this much. If it were Brian Cristante, it would have been a red.
Yeah, probably.
Would have.
That's of course, an allusion. Or I'm alluding to Mourinho telling him as much. You're not Leonardo Bonucci. You can't get away with whatever. And obviously, Bonucci.
Oh, my God. Reference. Wow, outstanding. Outstanding
But yeah, so Inter wins 2-1 at the death, and I know the Supercopa, we say, is not an important trophy, but still a trophy at the end of the day for the winning team. So
yeah,
always nice to win.
But that's what I mean, to lose a trophy like that, I mean, should be reprehensible. And then I knew this was coming too. Like, the excuse were already set in play by Allegri. You know, the reason why I say that is because I think he's an astute professor of psychology, and I explain sports psychology, because pre-match he was saying, well, it doesn't matter what the result is, we're just gonna go play it, don't have to worry about the result, it as long as it doesn't affect our league performance. Right there, Michael, you're setting yourself up to fail. Okay And then the worst part about it is afterwards was saying, I think he said, quote, Alexandro is coming back to his top level.
Wait, but to that point, it implies that he is not at his top level. So, and that's 100% correct.
Yeah, but your player just literally set up the game-winning goal for the opposition.
Yeah.
And you still compliment him?
Listen, this is all... The season in its entirety is literally just leading up for Juventus' run to the semifinals of Champions League, as someone has said. So I think it was Nima who was trying to be funny. But in any case, that's what's going to happen. It's just going to be, of course, the stupidest thing. They're going to win some Corto Musso games in the Champions League, and something fucking stupid is going to happen. He's going to earn his $12 million, whatever the hell he's making.
Nine, I think it is.
Yeah.
9 million euros.
Congratulations to Inter Milan. It was a well-deserved victory. Again, they to Julian's point, again, second half, nobody really went out and really took the game. But, you know, that's they also had just played like 3 days prior, right? So this is another example of just a meaningless kind of cup game and just them trying to
get... Which is why they should get it back before the season starts.
Yeah,
like a week before the season.
It should be almost like a friendly. Remember the Tim Cup where like three teams just played against each other for stupidity?
Yeah.
That's what this should be.
Well, no, Julian's right. Like traditionally, it's played on the weekend of Ferragosto, if I remember correctly.
This?
Yeah, the Supercopa. Yeah, it used to be played.
It was for years. I think.
Yeah,
two, 3 years.
Hasn't been. It's literally been in January or whenever.
Yeah, because they changed it because they signed a contract with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
For again, money.
The money.
And now they're paying for it. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, congrats to Inter. Well deserved victory. Again, they're clearly in the first half of the season. They're the top squad, right? It makes a lot of sense that they would be able to bring trophies home. Juventus are not there. They're not that level. So it's just the tale of the season so far, and it's looking like it's pretty telling for the remainder of the season. But again, we'll go on. Why don't we get into then our Serie A matchups? So pulling up the schedule here. So we had, that was on, I think, Wednesday, the Supercopa. So again, there was some Coppa Italia we'll get to a little bit later, but Saturday was the next round of Serie A. Started with Sampdoria-Torino. That game ended 2-1 for Torino. Sampdoria actually get an early lead 18 minutes in from Caputo before Singo ties at 27 minutes in, and Dennis Prate scores in the 67th to seal it for Torino.
Okay, well, hold on, Michael.
Yeah.
Cue the music.
Here it is. Wait. It is coming. It's just that it's very low volume. fired.
So actually, so Roberto Deverso was sacked after this game, and they brought in Sampdoria, brought in Marco Giampaolo to take over the team for the rest of the season. Well, in theory, for the rest of the season.
Michael? Yes. Okay, so moving on here. Next up, we had Salernitana host to Lazio, and this game ends 3-0 in favor of Lazio. Immobile with a brace, a very early brace. After 10 minutes, he's already scored 2 goals, and Lazzari scores in the 66th to make it 3-0.
Another assist for SMS, by the way, who's having a hell of a season so far.
Hell of a season, for sure. And he's only like 26, is that what we determined? Something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Lots of years ahead of him. Immobile, I think, as well, was asked to Paulo during this or after this game, something about...
Yeah, cause he scored 140 goals with Lazio, and he was asked to, you know, just to comment about it. And, you know, and the fact that he scored 140 goals with the Serie A club. And I guess the questioner and the reporter kind of led him on the fact that, you know, you scored 140 goals with Lazio, but you can't replicate that type of form with Italy. And then he responded back saying he's a European champion. And the fact that he did score, was it 3 goals, Chris, during that tournament?
I want to say 2.
Yeah, I think so, 2.
Yeah, that he scored 2 goals in that tournament. So, I mean, in theory, he's not wrong, but we'll leave it at that.
I mean, Locatelli also scored 2 goals. So.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Speaking of Locatelli's Juventus, they're the next game on the schedule here. So they were host to Udinese, and this game had a lot of interesting, I guess, storylines leading up to it. So again, post Supercoppa, there was a lot of, I guess, it started to look very bad for Juventus and Dybala and a renewal, etc. So there was talks of, you know, Dybala's unhappiness now, and rumors that Juventus don't want to meet his kind of demands for wages, etc. So going into this, Dybala, I think, said he didn't have anything to prove to some extent.
That was after. So that was after,
yeah.
Yeah, that was after the game. So it was actually that mechanic. He is a mechanic. I'll leave it at that. said that players who play for Juventus, including Dybala, have to prove that they're worthy of playing for Juventus.
And that was pregame.
That was pregame, yeah. That was pregame.
So, again, cut to 19 minutes into Juventus Udinese, and Dybala scores to open the game, makes it 1-0, and glares into the stands up towards the directors. It looks like Nedved almost kind of shits his pants out of fear. it's pretty clear that Dybala is trying to kind of send some sort of message. People ask him, who is he looking at? He said he was looking at a friend in the stands or something like that, you know, trying to, I guess, brush it off. But it's, again, there's obviously some tension there. And, you know, Dybala justifiably is kind of, you know,
frustrated
and looking to make a point there when he scores the opening goal. Yeah. And actually the seventh of his, I think, Serie A season so far. And I think that leads Juventus. The rest of the game is it's a decent game for Udinese, and Juventus kind of are continuing to be Juventus. They actually showed a little bit more of their ability to not lose games in this one. I think mm-hmm. they actually were able to kind of hold off Udinese for the most part, and eventually they did get the second goal 79 minutes in from McKenny, who it's the insurance mark there and kind of seals it for them.
Yeah, the McKenny goal was looked like a carbon copy from the goal that he scored on Wednesday against Inter.
Yeah, and let's talk, so just quickly there, I think it was Dybala who shot it over to, was it Locatelli on that side?
I think it was DiCiglio.
DiCiglio, and DiCiglio sends it in, loops the ball into the middle of the box for McKenny to head in. Mm-hmm. And again, it was DeCilio's been playing very well. Allegri's kind of for sure brought the best out of him. But I think the key here is to kind of look at Dybala and understand really they're going to miss him if there's some sort of repercussions from not signing him or wanting to meet those wages. For sure, it's not looking great.
Okay, so let's start with Dybala. So he wants $8 million plus, I think, $2 million in bonus. So 10 million euros.
Mm-hmm.
I think Juventus offered.
They offered him 8 and 2.
They offered him 8 and 2, and I think they pulled it now.
They did, yeah. So they offered him 8 and 2. I think at the beginning of the season, and he, I don't know why. I guess he didn't want that. Maybe he wanted 10 secured as opposed to 8 and 2 in bonuses, whatever. But yeah, it looks more and more like they're trying to cheap out and not offer him that 8 and 2 anymore.
So there was some interesting, I saw some reaction from Italy in the talk shows, and there was a good point from one of them. I think it was on Mediaset, where they said that Juventus is well within the right to pull the contract off.
Of course.
The problem that he has is the way that they're treating Dybala. The fact that, you know, you offered him this and then pull it, it's a kind of a slap in the face, and Dybala deserves to be frustrated, and rightly so.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not like Bernardeschi. This is your de facto captain. Chiellini is there, but only in retirement, basically, here, and Dybala is your, again, the old guard here at this point. He's the one who is your captain when Chiellini's not on the pitch.
And yeah, but he's young via Twitter.
Yeah, but in any case, again, it's not someone. It's par for the course for the corporation that is Juventus, I think, mm-hmm. at this point.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Okay, let's open to the floor here. What do you think? Let's go, Julian.
I mean, I think Juve should sign him first and foremost. As you've said, he's basically the face of Juventus at this point. He should be the face of the team moving forward. But clearly that's off the table now. I know there's been rumors that Inter are looking at him. I saw they've offered him, I think it was in a contract net, 7.5 million euros, which I think is fine. I don't think he'll accept that, though. So I think he's probably going to the Prem or La Liga, quite frankly.
Okay, Julian, do you think that comment about not being Çalhanoğlu is true?
I don't know. I'm going to say no, because I feel like that's... I mean, I don't know enough, but I feel like that's not necessarily something he'd say.
Yeah, so essentially it was... Yeah, that's literally the quote, is that someone asked him and he said he's not Çalhanoğlu. He wouldn't.
Which is fine, hilarious, yeah. By the way.
Because Inter Twitter is all over it, because obviously Dybala knows Marotta, and then he obviously knows Lautaro from the international duty, so everybody's posting photos of, like, after the Supercopa. But, like, yeah, I honestly don't see it, especially if he's looking for 10. Inter's not going to offer him 10, so I really don't see him coming to Inter.
Yeah.
I would take him in a heartbeat, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, Chris, quickly before we move on here.
Yeah, no, I would say obviously Juve should try to keep him, but you know, but I kind of related to the Donnarumma situation, where you know you have your limit internally as a club, where you know how much you can offer your best player, one of your best players, recognizing that you know once you offer said player 7, 8, 9 million euros, that's a precedent. Now every other player after that is going to be aiming to get towards that number. So I think it's, you know, if Dybala is asking for more than what Juve, you know, value him at, then that's the decision they have to make. If his contract's up this summer and they can't get anything for him, then it burns a little bit. Again, just like the Donnarumma situation, but it's a decision they have to make.
Yeah, just the last note here before we move on. I just want to say again, if this is the team that was paying Ronaldo $60 million a year.
Yeah.
Gross, right? So exactly. I mean, this isn't impossible, I'd say. And I think they're playing hardball. Either they think that again, the player is more likely to stay than not, and that they're trying to, again, make sure that they're paying the least, which I get it. If they're struggling at this point, they have a new financial officer in charge, and he wants to make sure, you know, books balance, etc. I just don't think this is the way to do it. But again, we'll see come, I guess, June.
Okay. Quick roundtable, yes or no answer. McKenny, most impactful midfielder this season?
For right. Who?
For Juventus.
It's
like more impactful. We'll put it this way, more impactful than Locatelli.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'll agree to that.
Okay. I say yes as well. Julian, Chris?
I say yes.
Yeah, there's only because there's nobody else.
Well, impactful in what sense? Because that there's,
bad, honestly, I think yeah, he's a solid
well, he's no, scoring. He is, yeah, sure. he's scoring. I think he's better at winning the ball back than Bentancur. And every time he's on the field, like he makes an impact for you know he scored in two straight yeah. games so far. You know,
listen,
and
this is we're talking too much about a fifth place team. So let's continue. Let's move on here.
9 points back, though. I just got to remind everyone that 9 point back.
Yeah, but there's a game in hand. Still. Anyway, case. Let's
which
continue.
Bologna didn't appeal. But anyway,
yeah,
we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on here. That's the end of Saturday's game. So on to Sunday, we had Sassuolo host to Verona. This is actually a very entertaining game as well. Verona scored twice before the half to go up 2-0. Caprari, 37 minutes in. Barak, 44. Into the second half, Scamacca scores. The 54th minute, Barak scores a PK only a few minutes later before De Frel makes it 3-2 in the 67th. And then Barak gets his hat-trick goal in stoppages there. So that's, again, a 4-2 victory for Verona. So a good showing from them. Moving on here, we had Venezia-Empoli. So this ends 1-1. Zerkowski scores 26 minutes in for Empoli, and Venezia are able to get a late equalizer after their new signing. Nani enters the field, immediately makes an impact in the 72nd minute, is substituted in, and in the 73rd, he provides the assist for Okereke. And that's how the game ends 1-1.
Just quickly touch. So that tying goal, I know Andrea Toli was quite upset with because they had a player down on the play. Similar to Inter Lazio earlier on this year, they had a player who went down and Venezia just played on.
I mean, listen, it's when you're Venezia, when you're in, 17th now, 17th position, you're not going to stop. You're fighting for your life, right? It's literally life or death for sure. Here for them. So I don't blame them at all. Okay. That was, ends 1-1. Next up, we had Roma and Cagliari, and we had a debut from someone who we'll talk about later in our transfer or in our rumor segment, I guess. In a rumor, it's already happened. Sergio Oliveira. We were talking about it last week, though.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so Sergio Oliveira.
Sedato nas svegliato, Michael.
Yeah, and he gave him a PK goal as well. So he scores from the spot 33 minutes in. And that's the only goal, actually, for Roma in that game. And it ends 1-0 for them. So they get 3 points.
So we promised to our winner, Abdullah again, you know, second straight time he won, that we go a little bit in depth on Sergio Oliveira, yeah, because he's a Roma fan, and because he's still upset about Roma Juventus, and understandably so. So, but I thought again, he made the impact. Veres, who actually gave up the opportunity to allow Oliveira to take that PK and prove to be the winner as well. Chris, you kept referencing Pellegrini. So actually, Pellegrini got injured before this game. I think he pulled the thigh or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
warm-ups, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, it proves the fact that bringing in midfielders will make them miss Pellegrini. Do you agree?
I don't think it matters whether they bring midfielders in or not. When Pellegrini's not there, they're going to miss him. I think it's just that simple. So, again, a healthy Pellegrini is going to make Roma better. him alone's not going to get Roma to top four, but he definitely makes a big difference. And I think you notice him more than any other player when he's not available.
Okay. Here, I got like two more points, or one more point, actually. I thought VAR was well used in this game. There was a PK early on in the game that was called, went to VAR, and was actually called back. The replay showed that the defender got the ball and it was the right call. And then there was a handball that was missed, went to VAR, and it was called, and it was a clear handball. I think it was Yao Pedro, correct me, no, Dalbert. Dalbert had his arm stretched out, and the shot hit his arm, which is, again, a clear PK. So anything else you guys want to add about this game, Sergio Vela, PK?
I find it funny when, like, for me, the pen call on Dalbert, like, his arm was clearly extended, mm-hmm. and he was trying to argue it with the referee after VAR deemed it a penalty. So I always find it funny seeing some of the players' reactions when calls like that are made, and it was just so obvious that it was a handball, but that's it.
It's the best part of VAR, is you get to see how stupid people are. Yeah, it's quite.
And VAR itself sometimes.
And yeah, hey. Okay, moving on here. The marquee matchup of the weekend actually was Atalanta Inter and Julian. Not much happened in that game.
I mean, it was actually a good showdown between the two keepers, to be honest. Yeah. Game ended 0-0, but both keepers made probably, I think Handanovic made two or three very good saves. Musso robbed Alexis Sanchez point blank. Jekyll missed three sitters. He should ride the bench for the time being, in my opinion, considering he hasn't scored since the Roma game. I think I saw Sempre Inter posted an article this week. He's only scored two goals in the past 3 months, so I think it's time for him to take a seat, because I just, during this game, I was getting frustrated because I didn't bring Lautaro on until the 80th minute. Dzeko has roughly played about 180 minutes more than Lautaro this season. So I think that needs to be changed.
That he was, I mean, he's really the leading striker since Lukaku left, right? They literally brought him in to replace him. So why wouldn't you give him the minutes?
Because he's not producing. I think the best strike tandem they have right now is Sanchez and Lautaro, personally.
Yeah, because
Dzeko was good to start the season. Don't get me wrong. He was a very good player to start. But, I mean, two goals in 3 months is not good enough.
And he's 30, and he's 36. I mean, of course, he was good to start the season. You know,
and then slows down.
And it slows down. We're at the halfway point of the season, so it makes total sense.
Yeah, and I think Lautaro should be your main striker moving forward.
One more point before I get to the hilarious part of this game, which didn't involve the club that wasn't even involved in this game. The fact that Lotito got, you know, 35 million euros for Carrera is absolutely
Correa.
There you go. I pronounce it wrong. Correa.
Tuku.
Correa. Tuku. Is an absolute, like, masterclass by his part. And the fact that he's only getting substitute minutes goes to show that, for me, he's not settling in, even though we had the same manager as the previous season. What do you think, Julian?
I mean, he hasn't been good enough either. I know he's won, I forget the other game he scored. He scored two braces this year. I forget, the first game was Verona. I forget the second game.
Sampdoria.
So, I mean, he could have, maybe, I'm not sure. He could have very well won Inter 6 points so far, which is obviously big. But overall, whenever he comes on, he just is invisible. So I don't know what needs to be done. I thought he'd be a good signing, especially with Lautaro there, somebody he plays with on the national team. But, just hasn't clicked.
Yeah, so getting to the funniest part of this game was, after the game, no official reason why this tweet was sent from SSC Napoli. But their official Twitter account congratulated Inter and Atalanta for an entertaining and fairly contested game.
Like, what the fuck?
I mean,
that Min was feeling good.
Yeah, maybe. Legit. Like, he was, I guess. Maybe he's trying to get transferred.
Oh, yeah, but there is a history with, like, the Napoli Twitter account. They have some gems. Saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? It was, I think the funniest to me is the Mertens
cross cum shot.
Yeah.
Admin was looking up some weird things. We gotta put an explicit, I think, on this, this episode.
It already is on there.
Okay, good.
It already is on there. And
people, make sure your children are listening.
But the thing is, either the fact that he picked the draw in this game, the social admin at Napoli, or the fact that
betting.
Yeah. Or the fact that everyone forgot to congratulate Inter to win on winning their
Supercopa.
Those are the only two explanations that I have.
So they congratulate a 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
Looking bunch of balonies.
But yeah, I mean, Julian, what do you think about that? Let's just go around the table.
I just don't understand it. Like, what's the context? That's all I want to know. Just give me context for it. Because I don't... Like, it's a nice tweet. Great, thanks. But, like, I don't understand.
Chris, I don't know. That tweet got 11,000 likes, so, like, last time I checked.
I have no further insight. We need an explanation.
Christ. Okay. That's it for that game then. Let's move on. So we had actually three games on Monday. It started off with two Bologna-Napoli. And this game was pretty much Napoli all game, right, Julian?
Yeah, I turned it off after Napoli got their second goal because Bologna wasn't in it whatsoever.
Yeah, so it ends 2-0. Yeah. And yeah. Shuki
scores a brace. Second goal was kind of funny. He, I think it was Fabian Ruiz who played it low across the box. And Skorupski straight up just dove thinking Chuki was going to hit it first touch.
And he just stops it.
Touch inside. Yeah. And then had a wide open net.
One point before we move on, Fabian Ruiz, like Hamsik level for Napoli if he stays long term. Like, in terms of importance, like, I think if he leaves anytime soon, I think Napoli goes back to be, like, I don't know, mid-table, in my opinion.
I mean, Milinkovic is still there, right? I think he's more valuable.
Fabian Ruiz.
Oh, sorry, I'm thinking Luis Alberto.
Yeah.
Fabian Ruiz. I don't know about mid-table, but he's definitely a big piece.
Anyone else?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
The thing, I don't think you're wrong. The thing I'll say is obviously it depends. If they were to sell them, how they'd replace them.
Mm-hmm. But
that's a whole other can of worms.
See?
Michael?
Yeah, so moving on here. That was Bologna-Napoli, and we actually had probably one of the more important games of the match day here, and that was AC Milan versus Spezia. Now, Chris, why don't you take us through?
I thought we said we were skipping this game. Slowly.
Yeah, start in minute one and end in minute
90. So, yes. Very... easy on paper. No, not easy on paper, but obviously on paper for Milan at home. Not completely healthy. They still have
three
quarters of the back line missing.
This part can hurry up here. But
they did get off to a good start in the sense that they did have a good chunk of their possession in Spezia's half. Leao was starting his first Serie A game in a while. I know he came on as a sub previously, but he saw a lot of the ball, rightfully so. He was taking players on 1v1. He was getting crosses in. Unfortunately, you know, attackers weren't always getting onto the end of it. He was also getting some chances on goal. Again, unfortunately, the majority of them were not on target. So that was, you know, the first 15, 20 minutes or so. about partway through the first half, Spezia have a throw in along their left side. It goes back to Provedel, their goalkeeper, who has a horrendous first touch, and Leao sees an opportunity to pounce on that first touch and knocks it away from him. It was initially called a foul on Leao. VAR intervened and, in my opinion, correctly awarded a penalty shot. I don't think there was a yellow card, awarded. So interim captain Teo Hernandez actually stepped up to take this one. Frank Kessie's at AFCON and Ibra's missed way too many recently. So he steps up, misses the net completely. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So it remains 0-0, but just before half, Krunic wins the ball, serves a long ball into Leao. I think it was Nicolau, one of the center backs, who kind of misplays it, puts a bit of backspin on it, and Leao's in, chips it over Provedel, and so that makes it 1-0 going into half. So not bad overall, but at this point, I think myself and probably a lot of Milan supporters were saying it should be more than 1-0. And beginning of the second half, more chances for Milan. Eventually, Kevin Agudelo comes on. He scores to make it 1-1, finishes across first time, I believe with his weaker foot as well. And then later on, Rebic is dribbling in, and this was kind of the controversial moment. And Rebic gets fouled, and immediately the referee blows his whistle. But as the ball continues to travel to the right, it's on Junior Macias' foot. And essentially, as Macias strikes the ball into the back of the net, the whistle goes, calling the play dead. It's not something VAR can overturn. Milan players, Pioli, everybody obviously irate, because that's most likely the game-winning goal if the referee, you know, does his job and allows advantage to be played. And as our luck would have it, 2 minutes later, Spezia go down, and as Thiago Motta put it, deservingly score the game-winning goal to make it 2-1, Giazzi, and Milan escape with nothing. I was beyond pissed off, as you guys know. I know referees make mistakes every game, but there's a difference between, you know, calling a throw in the wrong way or giving a yellow when it should have been a red, or not calling something when it should have been a yellow, stuff like that. Those mistakes happen, but not allowing that advantage to happen is just, I don't want to use the word inexcusable, because like you said, Mike, they're human and they're going to make mistakes, but you need to have the ability, have the patience to just give it that 1 or 2 seconds to see what happens before you call it back, especially in such a dangerous area. So again, Spezia win. I will agree, before I let you guys jump in, was that an awful call? 100%. Did that take away the 3 points from Milan? Yes, in a sense. You could still argue that Milan should have been able to see out the last 2 minutes. I will go even further back to say that Milan had enough chances throughout the match to put Spezia away, whether it was, you know, two or three goals before half, another goal at the start of the second half. Teo Hernandez missed a PK, as I mentioned. So the chances were there, but I'm still just in shock that the referee made that type of mistake at that point in the game, at that part of the pitch. Off to you guys.
Michael, can I jump in?
Of course.
Okay, so I agree with, it's not often I do agree with Chris here, but I do agree with Chris on the last 2 points that he made, that, you know, Milan should have been winning at least, you know, 2-3 at the end of the first half. Ibra scored. Ibra had a header hit off the post, a crossbar, yeah, right before after that Macias goal went in. You know, so they could have won the game right there as well. You know, but the thing is that Chris, of course, is neglecting to mention certain things. Rebic should have been punished for putting his hands on the ref.
Oh shit.
Literally took the ref's, you know, like, you did one of those, like, heart-to-heart kind of things. You don't touch the ref at all. It's in the rule book. You don't put your hands on the ref. It is a punishable offense. Wasn't punished. There's other instances this year, this season, that players have touched the ref and were either sent off or gotten yellow cards. Here, nothing. First point. Second point, of course, the ref made a mistake. I'm not going to argue that. But, I mean, you can't beat... What's happening here? You cannot beat Tagamoto this year. I don't understand. Every time his job...
He's literally line, unsackable. I'm not even going to play you the music because he's unsackable.
Yeah. I mean, it's shocking. Like, we all thought this guy wasn't going to last, like, you know, until now. I thought he wasn't going to eat his panettone. But, like, proven everyone wrong. Good for him, even though he cost Italy a Euro Cup final. I mean...
Hey, listen, they won the Euro anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, like, 8 years later.
Yeah, and 9 years. He had to be in a he had to be back into Italian soccer for that to win.
Okay,
so.
Jesus. You that's a stretch on that one.
Yeah, I made it, though.
But again, credit to Spezia. They held on. Provedel had, like, a few unreal saves. The one on Ibra, I think he deflected onto the crossbar as well. So, I was celebrating that because early on in the season, there was a Milan commentator who was talking about Inter and the fact that they weren't getting any injuries, but Milan was getting all these injuries, and the guy said, "La ruota si gira," the wheel turns. Well, the wheel turned against Spezia. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll just address your point about Rebic. Did he put his hands on the referee? Yes. By the letter of the law, is that a yellow card? Yes. But again, this happens, I don't want to say often, but players do go up to referees in a non-aggressive manner and put their arm around them, hands on the shoulders, whatever. So if the referee wanted to, could he have given Rebic a yellow? 100%. And you can't really argue it. I would just say that it seems like referees are okay with players who do it in a non-aggressive manner. The one at the top of my head is, I remember Ronaldo blatantly pushing a referee.
Higuain, I think another one.
Higuain perhaps as well, yeah. So I think the referees can use their best judgment and tell if a player is being aggressive or is just trying to passive-aggressively give them some unwanted attention. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and realistically, Rebic isn't, you're right, he's not intending any sort of harm. I think he's literally, you can see him, he's, you know, he kind of just puts his hands on the guy's shoulder just to talk to him, really.
Yep.
And it's almost just like, yeah, you know, you fucked up. Like, the ref is kind of admitting it too. He's kind of agreeing, like nodding. He's like, sorry, like, I, you know, it is what it is, but he can't take that back.
Yeah.
And I'll say that, you know, typically the only person who's able to put hands on somebody and not really have anything happen to them outside of Rebic now is
Bonucci.
Bonucci, of course. Yes. Okay. Is that enough for this game? We can talk more if you'd like.
I would just add, just very quickly, I haven't seen or, you know, read it or heard it, whatever the case is, but I've it's rumored that I believe his referee was Serra, S-E-R-A,
yeah,
that he did come out and issue an apology or kind of owning up to the mistake. Again, I don't know if that's true or not. If that's the case, again, I do applaud that. I know they do not have an easy job at all. Mistakes are made, and I can appreciate a referee who can just say, I screwed up, it was a mistake, this is what the call should have been, blah, blah, blah. I think we've all seen that video anyways of, I think it was a Dutch referee who kind of, it's like a similar call where he calls a foul when he should have played advantage, and he kind of like blatantly throws his arms in the air and then drops to his knees because he knows he screwed up. So I think most people can appreciate the honesty.
I don't know if it was the referee himself that released the statement, but I know I read an article from the Dettel Sport that the AIA apologized. So I'm not sure if it was the ref himself or the actual association.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, this is a ref who perhaps is better off eating crisps in the stands. Let's leave it at that.
Who has a trash can for art?
He's got a trash can for art. Yes. Moving on here. The last game of the match day. We've been talking a long time, so let's get through this and then we'll take a break. But Fiorentina absolutely demolished Genoa.
Mannerless Genoa, actually, because they cue the music.
Yeah, here it is. It's managerless Genoa.
So Shishenko was sacked after their loss against Milan. So they're actually bringing in former Hertha Berlin coach Labbadia to take over, we'll say this week.
Yeah. So this game goes entirely Fiorentina's way again, like I mentioned, and in a 6-0 rout. Odriozola scores his first, I think, Serie A goal 15 minutes in. Bonaventura scores 34 minutes in, and then our goal of the match day came in this last game from the captain, Biraghi, and here is the audio of that.
Biraghi! That is stunning from the Fiorentina captain. Absolutely superb from Cristiano Biraghi.
So just to kind of set that scene up, it was a free kick, maybe 30 yards out, 35 even maybe. Let's give him as much as he can, as we can. But it's just a beautiful shot. He obviously has a great left foot there and just places it perfectly into the corner of the net. And that's our goal of our match day, I guess, goal of the match day. And they weren't done, Fiorentina, again after that. That was going into the half, so they go in 3-0 up. And in the second half, Vlahovic actually has also a nice goal.
After missing a PK.
He did miss a PK. Apologized to fans before, I think, coming out for the second half.
Yep.
And, yeah, 5-6 minutes later, is rewarded with a nice run. He's able to, while he's running, take the ball down with his extended leg and just comes in and chips the keeper for a doink. Made it 4-0. And then Biraghi with his second free kick goal of the game in the 69th made it 5-0 before Torreira scored at the 77th to seal it at 6-0. So again, great showing from Fiorentina, and that's probably, that is it for the match day. But after this, it looks like, again, most teams are on 21 games played. I think there's one. I think Udinese are still at 20. Udinese are still at 20, but more or less, some are at 22, some are at 21. It's looking like, again, Inter Milan are still up top there with their draw against Atalanta. With AC Milan's loss, they make up no ground on that, unfortunately, and they're at 48 points. Napoli, again, with a win, are at 46, and Atalanta get the point to go one up on Juventus for that fourth position at 42 points. Juve are at 41, Fiorentina at 35, who are also tied with Roma and Lazio. So that's the top of the table. And the bottom of the table here, again, Venezia with a draw, just extend their small lead over Cagliari for 17th instead of 18th in the relegation zone. So in the relegation zone, you have Cagliari 18 with 16 points, Genoa 19th with 12 points, and Salernitana with 11 points, lowly in 20. Yeah. Any other notes?
Before we wrap it up, my point, what I kind of want to make, is the fact that Vlahovic had the wherewithal and the, you know, spatial awareness to apologize to the fans, coming out at halftime and then apologizing again after he scored to make to kind of emphasize the point. I thought it, shows great character. And I think, Chris made a comment that I think he wants to get make it as well again on the pod.
About
Vlahovic.
You have to refresh my memory.
And the fact that Theo Hernandez missed and did fuck all.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah, no, I thought obviously he didn't have to do that. And yeah, I just made a joke that Teo Hernandez should take note of that. But he won't.
The only other note I think to bring up is that Vlahovic is now second to Immobile, who had a brace this week. So Immobile is at 17 goals and Vlahovic is now at 16 goals with his goal. So that's a development. And you mentioned Vlahovic and apologizing to fans. He might need to do that more should Juventus have their way. Obviously, Fiorentina are noted big rivals of Juventus. So that's it's going to be an interesting development if that's how it shakes out. Okay, that's it for our Serie A review. Let's take a break. My God, we've been talking forever. Take a break, and we'll get into the second half of the show. So we'll be right back. Welcome to Romora here. I also put on 1.25 speed now. How does that sound?
That's not bad, actually.
Yeah, all right, yeah. Good for Rafael Cara. Okay, let's jump right into it. So with Romora, we're going to have our transfer rumors here. So, Paulo, take it away.
Okay, so let's start with the confirmed ones. So as we mentioned, you know, in our previous segment, Nani to Venezia, confirmed, of course. Calafiori to Genoa on loan from Roma. Bankovic to Udinese from Leicester on a free. He's there to replace Demayo and Samir. Borja Mayoral and Villar to Getafe on loan from Roma. And then Conte to Sampdoria, which was a permanent move. All right, so let's go rumors. We'll save the ones that we want to talk about afterwards. So of course Fiorentina want to keep Vlahovic until the summer, that's probably a given. Pellegrini to be bought out by Milan and then sent on loan to Torino. Salcedo back from Spezia, who had a bust up with Thiago Motta, to replace Satriano, who went to Brest. Lazio and Cagliari are interested in Benevento's Lapadula. Empoli want to buy out Vicario from Cagliari. Miranchuk to Genoa on loan for 2.5 million euros and then an option to buy for 8 million. Tagliafico on loan only if Ajax accept that loan with option to buy. Kamara from Olympique Marseille to Roma if Diawara is sold so they can fund a move. Piccoli on loan to Genoa. Nandez to Torino in exchange for Lanetti to Cagliari, both on loan. Magnani from Verona to Samp, because Gabbia will stay with Milan. So, Julian, do you have some inter transfers or rumors?
So you mentioned the Salcedo back to Inter because Satriano was loaned out to Brest for 6 months. Other than that, I think Sensi is getting close to Sampdoria. That'll also be a loan, but I did see on Sempre Inter as well rumors of a Sensi Thorsby loan swap, which I think would actually be good because Inter could use a serviceable midfielder right now. But beyond that, there hasn't really been too much.
So I was speaking about Samp as well. Castillejo from Milan and Eder to Sampdoria as well.
Wow. Yeah. Eder.
Yeah, that
he's
Eder.
Back.
Yeah. He's back.
He's back. He's back in vogue. Julian, to your point about Thorsby, I always enjoyed Thorsby as a player. I think, as you said, he's a serviceable player, runs a lot, a box-to-box midfielder, and I think that's something Inter needs, kind of like more of a Barella-type player in the sense that he always runs. Just someone that has a lot of stamina.
For sure. I think they just need... their first choice substitute is currently Vidal, who's kind of hit and miss, and then beyond that, you're looking at Gagliardini and Lucino, I think, should be sold as soon as possible, but that's if they can even find a buyer for him.
Listen, Vidal's a warrior.
Was a warrior.
Listen, he's worth it just for his Instagram post.
With the panda?
Yeah. Hey, don't hate on the panda. I always wanted one of those pandas.
See?
Chris, are you happy about Castillejo?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's made 3 appearances all year, so get him off the wage bill, I guess, and he can go and actually get some playing time elsewhere, because obviously he's not in Pioli's plans, so see you later. The other one, obviously, I know several clubs are interested in Gabbia on loan for the rest of the year, but I mentioned this last week with the injury crisis at center back specifically, Milan can't afford to let him go, so I expect him to stay.
And quick thoughts about Pellegrini.
Yeah, I think I said this last week as well, but he could benefit from some playing time, but he obviously needs to get healthy first. At the same time, I think there's lots to learn from veteran strikers like Ibrahimovic and Giroud. So it's a difficult decision to make. If I'm Maldini, I probably prefer for him to go out on loan the rest of this season. Again, hopefully he can stay healthy, play 10 to 12 games, see how he does, and then hopefully start fresh next year.
Okay, so what do we think about, let's start with Gosens to Newcastle. We'll go, Chris.
My first thought is he has to be careful because they are in the relegation zone. So I'm sure he'll get more money there. Even if they go down to the championship, then he will at playing, you know, if he's staying with Atalanta. But do you want to play in a second tier league, or do you want to play, you know, Serie A, Champions League, most likely start the majority of the game? So decision for him to make if it's not just about money. Because if it's just about money, then I think the decision's made.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to the Juventus bulk of news. I'll list it off, and then you guys can decide which ones you guys want to comment on. Right, so Juventus contacted Rovella during the January transfer window, but he's injured. And then there's also Zaccaria, who won't renew his contract. Zenit want 5 million euros for Azmoun to sell him in January. And then also Juventus are looking at Martial from Manchester United. And then the one that made me laugh was Zaniolo to Juventus to replace Dybala.
But that's in
the summer.
Summer. Yeah.
It still came up today.
Yeah. I think whatever happened to Pogba, wasn't that supposed to be this big January window for them to get Pogba back? And oh god,
yeah, but that's
what a mess this team is.
Do you know how that's like Tutto Sport and how they sell newspapers?
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's how we sell tweets.
That is true. But I do appreciate. I mean, if they can get Azmoun for
five million,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, and he's pretty prolific with Zenit as well, so that could be a very good sign in the fact that Morata doesn't have to play every single game. Or yeah. Moise Keane.
I'd be interested to see the Rovella situation, how that develops, because I feel like that is a player who can play and can make an impact right away for them as well. So I think that's if that ends up happening and they do take him back, I think that's a really easy and free way to do that. So,
you know, the funny thing is I was actually having a conversation with a Juventus fan in Italy, and he mentioned Fratesi Rovella combo in the midfield, and I said, well, you know, add Fratesi Rovella Locatelli in the middle. I think that's your future midfield for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sold on Fratesi yet, but I think that would be an interesting midfield for sure. I think it definitely has a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm. But most likely Fratesi will go to Inter because of Morata there,
yeah,
who is the best director in Italy.
Who is actually being extended, I may add.
Exactly, there you go.
That's part of our rumors here.
Yeah, him and Azulio and Batson? I don't know how to pronounce his name, sadly. But yeah, they're supposed to be extended for another year or two.
There you go.
Okay, well, I think that's it, yeah. I guess no one wants to talk about Zaniolo to Juventus to replace Tamal, right?
Let's talk about it in the summer. I think that's... let's see what happens with the whole Dybala gate, and let's really be sure that that's what's happening. Zaniolo, I don't know if Roma would even... I mean, maybe if they can make money off him just because he's been kind of injured. I could see it happening now, but...
But I just want to point out, I'm pretty sure, Julian, correct me if I'm wrong, but they'll make money on him because he was part of the capital gains and part of the Nainggolan deal.
Yeah, they only, I think on paper, he only, his transfer value is like $4.5 million from Inter.
There you go, yeah.
So they'll make quite a bit of money on him.
So
I'm kind of hoping Inter has a sell-on fee, but I don't know.
I doubt it. So it was stupid back then.
Yeah, that's true. They were Mancini, but we won't get into that. Okay, Michael, I think we're good to move on for the transfer rumor section.
Okay, sweet.
We covered a lot in very short time.
Yes, great. Let's move on to then. We're going to review Coppa Italia quickly. So this was the round of 16, and we had there was Atalanta who hosted Venezia, and they came away with a 2-0 victory. So they move on. Muriel and Mele with the goals in that game. We had Thursday's matchup. So this was actually post the game on Wednesday in the Supercoppa going to 120 minutes. Napoli and Fiorentina also went the distance. And this was a very, busy game. A very, what's the word I'm looking for? It was a...
Full of excitement.
Yeah, an exciting game. Well, okay, sure. We'll give it that moniker. But this game was nuts. So Vlahovic scores in the first half in the 41st minute. Mertens scores a couple minutes after that to tie it. So it's 1-1 going into the half. But before that, Dragowski gets a red card. Is it in the first half there?
Yeah.
If I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah, because then it's a foul outside the box.
Yeah. And so that's a red card. Then the second half, down 10 men, Fiorentina actually take the lead. 57 minutes in, Baraghi scores, who's on a obviously crazy roll this week, to make it 2-1. And actually, Chucky, after that, gets a red card as well. So then they're down to 10 men. And then does Fabian Ruiz get a second yellow first? And then they score to tie it. I think that's what happens, right? Yeah. So he gets the second yellow. So Napoli are actually down to 9 men. And then Petagna scores literally at the death to extend it. So it's 2-2 after 90. So they have to go to the 120. And in extra time, again, Napoli down to 9 men. And it was Fiorentino were really kind of pushing the pace here. So they get their goal 105 minutes in to make it 3-2. And after that, they just were able to kind of roll with it from there. I think Napoli kind of knew that they lost. 3 minutes later, Piontek scores his debut goal in his debut with Fiorentina. And Male, just before the end of 120, makes it 5-2. So Fiorentina wins it 5-2 in the end, like I said there, and they move on and they're going to face Atalanta in the next round. Next up here we had Milan and Genoa. So this is Genoa actually came out with the 1-0 goal in the 17th minute. Ostergaard scores before Milan eventually are able to tie it up in the 74th. So this game goes up to 120 minutes as well. In the extra time, we had Leao score the 2-1 goal in the 102nd minute, and then Salamakers in the 112th makes it 3-1. So AC Milan move on as well, and they will face the winner of... what's going to happen this week, right? So we have Lazio Empoli or Lazio
Udinese.
There it is. So on Tuesday, Lazio will play Udinese and Juventus will play Sampdoria. On Wednesday, Sassuolo will play Cagliari. Inter will play Empoli. And on Thursday, Roma will play Lecce. So those are all the games upcoming to conclude the round of 16. And then after that, again, the only for sure game so far is Fiorentina-Atalanta. But again, Milan are in. And then obviously the winners of those games will kind of determine who faces whomever. But I think that's on the 8th of February. So it's going to be the first week of February, or second week, I guess, of February in any case. So that is the Copa review. And yeah, we were speaking about Fiorentina here. So why don't we, we've got a little bit of discussion here to get to. So let's talk about Fiorentina in depth here. And specifically, we want to talk about Zirocco here.
Yeah, so there's a outstanding article in the Financial Times about like an in-depth interview with Rocco Kummer. So what I find, like, I started reading and I couldn't put my phone down when I was reading this article. It was gripping. It goes, it starts with the fact that, you know, Zio Rocco is having a hard time getting respect. He gets no respect, Michael.
Like Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And the fact that he's complaining about how he thought he would come in, invest all this money, and he would get things done the way he wanted to get things done, gets things done the way he does in the United States and his business. And what I found interesting was the fact that he says that he invests all this money and the article, you know, details his past, how he grew up, his parents, you know, moved to the United States with nothing. You know, he went to school on he went to college on a soccer scholarship. If I read the article correctly, he pretty much grew up and had nothing. But the thing is that, and he became this internet magnet with Owns MediaCom, and the fact that he expanded internet in the parts of the United States that didn't have such service. But the thing is that what I find, the point that I had, the contradiction that he had, that he constantly brings up in the article, was that he's not a Zio d'America, which is an Italian immigrant who went to the United States, made their money, and comes back to visit their family with all this money. But then he says that in the beginning of the article that he wanted to come back and give back to his country. But Michael, it's not his country anymore.
Yeah. Was it? Wait, sorry, but he's American born, is he not?
No, he's
Italian born.
He's Italian born.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But Michael, you know as well as I do, the Italians don't respect those that left and come back and then try to dictate how things should be done when they left for 50 years and then try to come back.
So it's funny because it's a the way that I feel like they see it is that you didn't stay to endure.
Yes.
And suffer, right? So yeah. It's the fact that you left and made your bones is not really endearing to them. It's more like, okay, well, you left us.
Yeah, you left
it's
us.
Such a,
yeah.
It's just such a like a complex the Italians have, right? You left us, and you know, you left your family, and you know, now you come back. Okay, well, you know, you don't. It's, you know, not some big thing. You're back, right? And okay, screw you.
The reason why I take issue with this, and because I've experienced in not in the way he feels it in making, you know, billions of dollars, Michael. But when I go back there and visit my family, and I always mention the fact, you know, I like watching old Italian movies and just. In terms of learning, like constantly keep learning the language and listen to Italian. When I go back there, I tell them, it's like, it hasn't changed from the movies that I've watched. And I come back, but then they tell me, it's like, oh, but it has, you know, we've evolved. We're not the same people that we were after the war, but what has actually changed? Nothing, in my opinion.
They have cell phones now.
Yes, exactly. They have cell phones now. That's the only thing to me that has changed. And they've told me straight up is that you left. You weren't there in the post-war years when they were rebuilding. When they suffered through 15 years of depression after the war. And I understand that. And so he can't come in there, okay, because he is, from the generation that left post-war. He can't come in there and expect to be, like, I think it was a quote, a conquering Caesar returning after victory. It doesn't work like that, Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I understand that sentiment. I get it, but it's so ass backwards to just not want to or not willing to accept when someone can help you out. It's such a stupid.
Well,
ego. It's ego, right?
Yeah,
it's just
proud
so
people.
Stupid. They're proud people. I get it, but it's not. It's not an endearing quality, especially when you have someone who wants to put in this effort to, you know, it's not a money-making venture at this point. You know what I mean? It's not, especially everything that we know about Serie A soccer, there is not the money to be had like in other leagues, right? He easily could have invested in, you know, his money into an English team and worked on, you know, finding a way to make that work out for himself and for all his money. It's one thing to then again not want to have this person who is literally just probably losing money at this point be a part of your life, just again out of spite. And that's just the way of I don't know, I guess the culture at that point is just you don't respect it. And he doesn't feel respected, and I think it's because they choose to disrespect him literally, quite yeah. literally.
Well, there's a good quote.
He's a wounded bull.
He's a wounded a bull ferito. There's a good quote. I think a source close to him was quoted in the article saying that he's not part of the aristocracy of the Italian football establishment, which, of course, is the Agnelli's, which is the Agnelli's, put it that way. There's no Moratti anymore. There's no... another former famous owner, Zamperini. We'll put him in there for discussion points. But and he's like I said, he's from the south. You know, there's still that divide, the north south divide, and I completely understand that he's treated as an outsider. But the thing is that you got to play their game when because he complains about the bureaucracy. About the fact that even though he's spending 90 million euros on a training ground and in a complex for Fiorentina, he's still not getting respect from the municipality of Florence, because he's trying to dictate to a bureaucracy that's been around for 70 years and that's not willing to change at all. 80 years, excuse me, you know, since the end of the war.
Yeah, they just I feel like I'm not sure if this is just an Italians thing or whatever, but it's almost like they don't want to acknowledge the issues. And no. He is someone who's going to give it to you straight,
mm-hmm.
And that's what he's been doing. He wasn't mincing words when he said that, you know, that what history is there, right? They've won twice in 90 years.
Yeah, and they called the Frankie a piece of shit.
A piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... And he's not entirely wrong. Again, we've seen infrastructure problems all over Italy. So the fact that, again, there's... It's not like this is a... you know, it's not the Ponte Vecchio that he's trying to save. You know what I mean? Like, it's not art. It's not, like, that culture in the same sense. It's mm-hmm. just that it's... the Italians like to romanticize a lot of this stuff, and it kind of gets in the way of logic sometimes.
No, and you're right. That part, he's right. And he's also right about the agents. We mentioned Vlahovic. There was the fact, in the article and mention that Vlahovic's representative wants $8 million just to sign a new contract, and then 10% for any future sell-on fee from Fiorentina and the buying club. So it goes to his point about how he's trying to he approves of FIFA's attempt to relegate
regulate
agents.
Yeah.
Guys, do you have anything else, Julian, Chris?
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say it was a pretty good article. I read it quickly just before we started the call tonight, but I do agree with some of the frustrations, or I can see how he's getting frustrated with things like trying to get a new stadium built or trying to get a new facility built for his own club. Because again, in America, you know, there are new stadiums popping up all over the place, regardless of the sport. You know, the clubs or the teams are able to work, you know, in cahoots with the city or the province or the region, you know, depending on where they're coming from. And not that it's easy in North America, but it's definitely easier for an owner to go to a municipality and try and work together on building a new stadium or arena, whatever the case is. So I
except
do
see the Calgary Flames.
Except the Calgary Flames, yes. And I guess Melnick to an extent. Yeah. But no, so I do understand some of his frustrations. And like you mentioned, Paulo, with the whole Vlahovic commission piece with agents, I can see how, you know, the millions and millions will add up. And obviously he had enough by the time this interview was conducted and it ended up in an article.
Julian?
Honestly, I think you guys have kind of talked about everything. I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Like it's Italy. We know Italy is kind of slow to change. They like things kind of status quo, but he's right. Like he's from the U.S. where they literally will build a new stadium in the blink of an eye. They like to invest in sports, and Italy seems to be the exact opposite.
Okay, so we'll go Julian and then everyone else. The fact that he called Juventus motherfuckers. you probably think he's spot on about that.
Do you resonate with that?
A little bit. No, but what I will say is, like, I do believe him to a degree where because he is an outsider, he is treated as an outsider. And I think we can all agree that Agnelli probably is the main voice kind of in that head to, like, group of Serie A owners, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be Zhang. It's not going to be Elliott Group. It's going to be Agnelli. Yeah.
But he's right when he says that, you know, if this happened in the United States and that the owners lost a bunch of money to share, that the shareholders will sue the motherfuckers. I think that was the quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's spot on. But, again, the Americans sue people for anything they can.
Also true.
I don't know. This is just—he's an interesting character. I mean, the fact that I hope he does stay because I don't think Syria has been this entertaining since Zamperini left.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah. But he has to realize that I'm going to reiterate this point. He's not gonna be treated as a conquering hero, and the fact that he's gonna come in with this a suitcase full of money and then start spending it, and then they're gonna he's like trying to buy their love and respect. In Italy, respect has to be earned by playing the game.
And you know what? To that point, I'll tell you that this Fiorentina side is miles above where they were a year before. So, you know, he's walking the walk at the same time as, you know, he's not just saying he wants to do this or whatever. He's going to tell you like it is. He's not going to mince words when it comes to Vlahovic and how frustrating it is to deal with a guy who, you know, his agents want X amount just to resign, blah, 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 whatever it is, right? He is right to complain about that because this is the player who is a star player who you would want to keep, especially if you have ambition, and he has ambition.
who was, you know, at the depths of his career
before
18 months, like 18 months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a fascinating topic. I think we can talk all episode. You know, we got to bring in Viola Nation back again.
Yes,
agreed.
Yes.
Yeah. So to talk about this article once again, but any last thoughts on this article? Anyone?
I just hope that he finds peace.
Well, honestly, the at this point, the stadium is more like an obsession. You know, I think there's a quote that was in the article saying that this stadium will be around for 100 or 200 years, he says. You know, it seems like it's going to be one of those legacies that he wants something to remember him by.
A new stadium, you're saying?
A new stadium, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I thought you were saying the Frankie.
That piece of shit.
That's it. Okay, moving on here. So that's a good convo here. Why don't we get into I guess who am I? Let's jump into it.
Just give me one second here. So again, normally we have the who am I question, so to speak, but as Paulo mentioned on the first half of the show, what was his name, Paulo, again? Remind me.
Abdullah.
Yeah, so Abdullah was still, we'll say, hurting from the Roma loss to Juventus and just wasn't in the right frame of mind to give us a question, which we respect that. That's me today after the Spezia loss. So I completely understand. We're back with another who am I.
I just want to say that that's probably pretty on theme, and I'm going to play this, obviously, but...
Who am I?
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
That is exactly how you feel. You don't even know who you are anymore.
I don't. Pioli's on fire. All right, so here we go with hint number one. This player first came to Serie A in 2017, left Serie A in the 2018 season, but then returned for 2020 and, of course, is still playing in Serie A currently. Hint number two, he has played for two different clubs in Italy, England, and Spain. Hint number three, some of his teammates include Stefano Okaka, Pasalic, Coutinho, and Decilio. So again, hint number one, he first came to Serie A in 2017, left immediately following the next season, and then returned in 2020. Hint number two, he has played for two different clubs in Italy, England, and Spain. And then hint number three, some of his teammates, could be current, could be former, include Stefano Okaka, Pasalic, Coutinho, and Decilio. And your five-minute timer has begun.
I think I already know who it is. Do you guys?
Yeah, De La Feo.
De La Feo is my guess. Julian?
That's it. Yeah, you guys, I think, have...
Jesus Christ. Awful day for me. 13 seconds. I don't know if that's a record or not.
Honestly,
but...
I could have had it before that. I was waiting for you to finish to say yeah.
Me too. Which hint gave it away? The second one?
I don't know. I just had a feeling. At first, I was like, I don't know.
I think you mentioned Okaka, and then I'm like, okay, when was in Italy?
You said he is on his second Serie A team, and I just like it clicked. And then you said he was. Or two in what was the first hint?
First came to Serie A 2017.
That's it. That's what it was. It was literally that. And he left and he came back. And I was like, that sounds like AC Milan, De La Feo, whatever, right?
Oh my God. Well, I wish I had another one ready to go, but I got nothing. So we're just done.
Listen, I had to speed this up. I really wanted this episode to wrap up before we got into the 2-hour mark here. So,
all right, to laugh some more, who was the player that Julian got angry at Mancini with? Or sorry, angry with Mancini for buying?
It's Kondogbia? Also why Roberto Mancini has me blocked on Twitter.
Yes,
Kondogbia?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
God,
there's multiple tweets because we. Sold Kovacic for $40 million to buy Kondogbia for $40 million, just so Milan wouldn't buy him. When we already had Felipe Melo and Gary Medel, so yes, let's bring in another defensive midfielder.
Oh God!
see.
All right, Michael, now you can wrap it up.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just get into – we obviously got into the Copa games that are coming up. We also have, obviously, next weekend, we have the next match day. I think it's Friday, actually, they play. Yeah, they play on the 21st, so it's Friday. So, again, we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday games. Big matchups, I guess. Lazio-Atalanta is on Saturday. I guess there's also the derby, Milan and Juventus. So that's going to be a fun game on Sunday. I think there's it's a 2:45 derby.
Napoli Salernitana.
Oh, see.
And an intriguing game for Campania,
Empoli, and Empoli, Roma.
That's literally the game that I was going about to mention, but it's not a derby, no.
No, it's not like a Tuscan derby or something, I guess.
No.
That would be Fiorentina.
Fiorentina or like Bologna or somewhere. Right. Or Pisa. But but yeah, for me personally, I'm going to be looking at that game. I think Empoli's a kind of a bogey team for Roma.
Well, they're a bogey team for a lot of teams.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's going to be a good game.
Yeah. So this is actually the last Serie A weekend before the shitty international break.
Yeah.
So, not back until February 6th.
Okay.
Which is disappointing. But.
And then February 8th, there's Copa.
Yes. Yeah.
So there you have it.
So next week will probably be a shorter episode, Michael, just for you.
Yeah. Well, hey, no, we honestly, the time that we saved on Who Am I, I think it really, really.
I still have helped. The timer going just to make me feel better.
Yeah, no, it really saved this episode. Good job, everybody. Okay, any last thoughts before we sign off? We'll start with Paulo, then we'll go to Chris and then Julian.
Honestly, I don't know. I was kind of half joking when I was talking with you guys after this Milan game here. This had to happen before Milan Juventus, eh? So like, I feel like there's gonna be some sort of like makeup.
Three makeup PKs for Milan.
Yeah, something like that. You never know. Like, you know how I said that the wheel turns, right? La ruota che si gira. So we'll see if the wheel turns in whoever's favor. Is it a makeup, or you know, Juventus somehow sneaks one by like they did against Udinese?
Juliano?
That's my thought.
Or no, Chris?
So mine's kind of similar. I'll just be looking to see how Milan bounced back after that sort of game. I guess another one will be, I know Genoa haven't appointed a manager, but obviously they just got thrashed on Monday. Was it 6-0 the final?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, lots of work to do for whoever. Or did they confirm the new manager yet?
He's going to come in this week. So Labadia's name is.
Right, Labadia. So hopefully he can show some signs of improvement, because I don't think it can get worse for Genoa. Yeah.
They play Udinese there, so that's I think Udinese are looking like their
goals coming for Beto.
Yeah, let's hope so. For their sake, I guess. Okay, Giuliano.
I just want to know what's going to happen with that Inter-Bologna game. Because there were four of them postponed, I think. So three of them were appealed, but Bologna didn't appeal. So I don't know what's happening. I think it might be a 3-0 Inter win.
Yeah.
Why, though? I don't get it. Why would you not appeal?
I don't know. I can't answer that one.
Maybe because they posted the starting 11. And they probably realized, because they posted the starting 11, that they already made their bet and they can't win.
I don't know. Okay, that's I guess that's it then. Let's look forward to Copa. Let's look forward to the next round of Serie A matches. And, we can even look forward to, I guess, in a week or a week and a half, the
Canada break. USA,
yeah, because we got Canada USA coming up, right?
Yep,
big game. No Davies, unfortunately. No.
Yeah, yeah, right.
By the way, there's still tickets available in Hamilton. Whoever wants to go sit outside for 2 hours in minus degree weather.
How about no?
Yeah, okay. As much as I'd love to see a game, I don't think I can brave that.
Yeah, I'd go to see Davies, but you know, now we can't, so I guess I won't be going, Paulo.
Well, I mean, there's still David, but
yeah, it's true. I can see him in Ottawa, though, right? Maybe. I could have seen him in Ottawa in the past, so
that's yeah, cool. You could have went to the internationals game.
Yeah,
there you
go. Your international team?
No, that was only for Mika Zibanejad.
Hockey.
Okay, Mike, wrap it up.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Again, you can follow us on our Twitter and on Instagram at RTW Calcio. We, again, as always, we post our funny takes. We post polls. We post, et cetera. Our last poll with was about Vicario, right? And it, it did well. So it looks like people think he deserves a call-up. So it's, yeah. Make sure you're following us on there, and you'll be up to date with all of our goings on as well. And yeah, if you have any questions, again, don't hesitate to reach out, because we love interacting, we love answering questions, we love you. So again, thank you for listening, and thanks for being a part of the family, the Rete family. With that, again, let's call it an episode, and we will see you all next week. All right. Arrivederci, ciao, bye.